Hello and welcome to So No Kids,
the podcast designed by women without kids for women without kids.
This is a place for an open and honest discussion about how it feels to live life as a child-free woman.
Today we talk to Sophie about creativity, about the relationships we're drawn to and the duality of what we actually want in life. We talk about addiction, partying and play, and why female friends are the real soulmates.
Sophie, thank you so much for joining us on So No Kids today. It's fantastic to meet you. So welcome. How did you come to be a woman without kids?
First of all, I want to thank you for phrasing that, how you have. So many women at some Easter lunch, so have you got kids, or, oh, how come you haven't? And as if, like, I don't know, it can be this sense of that you didn't measure up or you missed a meeting, or like you have to say no and explain yourself in some sort of way of like, why did you miss it? How did I come to be child-free? It's been a lifetime's work, shall we say. You know, when I remember really clearly at like 7 years old thinking, I won't get married with children when I'm 20. I'm going to wait till I'm 25. You know, I grew up in the 80s. Like, that seemed like real sound advice to myself. I mean, at 25, I was traveling around India. I was off my rocker. I was not fit to be anyone's cousin, never mind someone's mum, you know. And I never pushed for it. I sort of just assumed I would have children. But then as adulthood progressed and as my life progressed, it just seemed further and further away or unlikely. I was heavily into drink and drugs, and I got clean and sober at 26. So in some ways it was like, oh, okay, well then maybe this could turn around. But what I found was the men that I was drawn to, for various different reasons, they weren't necessarily going to be good partners for me. You know, there was one partner I really thought I'd found that person, and he was very clear about not wanting to have children. And so I kind of put it down and I was like, okay, I love traveling anyway, and I'm artistic and I want to make music and I want to write, and I'm kind of coming into my own, you know. Sod, like, am I allowed to swear? Because I might swear. Yeah, as a
right. 100%.
Like, the idea of holding a baby or like smelling them or them needing you more than anyone, great. But like not being able to sleep, or the kids run like parents' evening, I was just like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. You know, I've got adult things to do. But there was also an element with that partner where I wasn't very good at expressing what I wanted or what I needed. So even though it kind of hurt my heart that he didn't want to have children, I went, that's okay, that's fine, I don't need it. Just love me, let's move to Portugal, like, let's do these things we're talking about. And like, for various reasons of what I went through growing up, you know, this wasn't the right person for me, and this wasn't the right situation. There was a lot of like codependency, and he was depressive, and I was just trying to cheer him up, and that it didn't work. He's a beautiful friend in my life now, but that didn't happen. And then years later, I was with somebody else, and he was very strongly wanting children, and very strongly was like, he'll be an amazing mom, and oh, but let's wait a year, and oh, let's wait a year. He was a bit younger than me, and we were traveling all over the world. It was this long distance thing. Like, it was, you know, it wasn't necessarily going to be the right thing. In all that sort of putting me off, it turned out he was cheating on me, you know, and like, yeah, it was just awful. And so then after that, I took quite a while being by myself. Like, I really wanted to mend. And it was a big sort of awakening for me of like, how is it that I don't drink and use anymore? And I'm like, I'm in recovery, and I've done lots of work on myself, and I've gone to therapy, and what is this thing with men? And just from sort of growing up in alcoholism, and there was violence, and there was various different things, I wasn't good at choosing people that were choosing me, and I wasn't good at choosing like safety and comfort and stability. I was drawn more to people that were not going to give me what I need, and not turn up as I needed and I couldn't express myself. The thing for me around children was, like, I grew up, my mum raised us, like, she was a single mum in her late 20s. Like, she was bringing us up just in that way. And I just used to see her crying to Annie Lennox in the daytime. It was like, man, this does not look fun. Like, she worked her ass off to bring us up, and she did a great job, you know, and she did the best that she could. But I have not been a woman that has thought, oh, well, if I don't find the right person, I'll do it myself. Like, I completely respect that there are women that have that sense and have that, no matter what, I'm having my own children, or I'm having, you know, surrogacy or adoption or whatever it is that they want to do. That's not been my story. I wanted, if I was going to, for it to be a partnership, for it to be a collaboration. I don't doubt that I'd have been the best mom I could possibly be. But the fact that it hasn't happened, although there's been grief around it, there has been a grieving process. I'm also pretty delighted to just be me. I saw friends yesterday, and I played with their kids for hours, climbing trees and smelling flowers and pretending that we're bees, and then went, okay, bye. And I went off to my life and, like, sat in a cafe and did some writing and, you know, like, saw some friends that evening. Like, the autonomy I have is gold. So yeah, that's maybe quite a big answer for you, but that's the beginning.
It's a great answer. Thank you. It's funny because, as much as obviously in the beginning when been through a journey with addiction and things, but actually overall, it sounds like you've made some really healthy choices for your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I don't take these decisions lightly. I can miss the sense of, like, how incredible it would be to be pregnant, like the experience of, like, growing a person and, like, watching them learn and watching them walk and, like, all of these things. Like, that would be so magical. But I knew that I had to heal a lot of things in my own heart and my own, like, self-worth and, like, my own, I don't know, feeling like a complete whole human being. Like, I didn't want to bring a child into the world because there was something in me that felt I was lacking. You know, it's not a child's responsibility to be that hole in my soul, like, to fill it up. Like, there was a part of me that wanted a child so that I would be the most important thing to them. And it's like, that changes. God, I love my mum, but she's not the most important thing to me. And that's like a rite of passage that you let your children go. And I'd like to think I wouldn't have held a child to that, but I know that there was a part of me that wanted someone to really want me. And that was just a whole other different thing that needed to be healed that wasn't about a baby, you know. And so, yeah, it's been quite a life of, like, getting back to myself and then getting to go on all these adventures. Like, I've traveled around the world so much. I've got so much more to do. And I get to have these adventures, and sometimes I can feel like, I always forget if envy or jealousy, because there's one where you wish other people didn't have it, and there's the other that you sort of can wish that you had. Like, I don't wish anyone to not have what they want. But sometimes I can see that family unit and be like, oh, wow, like, this couple and these children, like, wow, this amazing family unit. And then other times I can feel that they can be jealous of me, like, where are you off to next? Like, oh, you know. Because I'm off, you know, wherever, I'm going to Italy, or I'm not sure yet if I'll be in London or back in Sweden yet. And there's maybe a bit of ego there, but so what? Like, I love to move. I love to travel. And it's hard enough having a cat. That's tricky responsibility right there.
Absolutely.
Plants.
Go away for a couple of weeks. What's happened to that plant? You mentioned a grieving process around having not had children. What did that look like for you, and how was that to go through?
My birthday last year, I was 42, and it was also Mother's Day.
Ooh.
And I just, oh, yeah, right? Yeah. Double winner. Like, yeah. I spent a lot of that day just crying in bed, you know? And also I'd done that codependent thing of, like, a lot of friends were up for having a Zoom call or a, you know, video call, because I live in the middle of the countryside in Sweden. Like, I couldn't afford London for myself, never mind a family, and that's why I live in the middle of freaking nowhere. That's a whole other cost of living conversation around children. But I had done that thing of, oh, don't worry, maybe your kids are doing cute things for you this morning, like making them breakfast in bed or whatever. So it's okay, we can chat later. And it was like, why didn't you just let your friends call you when they want to call you? I didn't want to be a bother or like kill the mood. But yeah, I really cried. Like I really cried a lot. And a lot of the time I do tap into and hold on to the freedoms that I have. But there are sometimes some real physical experiences like, oh my God, every time I have to have a smear test, I was in, you know, I'm in Sweden and I don't know how many different times I asked, like, are you pregnant? No. Have you been pregnant before? No. So do you have, you know, and like, are you currently with somebody? I'm like, yeah. No. Like, so, can you just do it already and leave me alone? Like, and so not only have you like entered my space with a horrible receptacle, you've also made me feel bad that I haven't measured up and I'm crying in the car park. Or when I go to the dentist and they ask if you're pregnant, I get a physical ache, sadness in my gut, and it feels like a loss. And that's all, that's the only way I can really put it in that sense of like, oh, I didn't do it. And sometimes I can worry, like, was I just too pleasing to men or not expressing enough of what I really wanted to really go for this and really have children? But then I look at the rest of my life and I'm like, well, I really wanted to travel and I did. I really wanted to buy this house and I did. And so I do go for things that I want and I do have more of a sense of me than I thought. So yeah, the grieving process has come in waves and it's sometimes been connected to love lost or love that turned bad. And sometimes it's just that like, wow, if we've only got one life, I've detoured away from that whole realm of experience of like passing on and seeing what your genes and someone else's genes creates and seeing someone learn things. But I can go play with my friend's four-year-old tomorrow if I want, like if I want to help them climb a tree. But yeah, I hope that's answered your question.
It has. Thank you. And I'm interested in the idea as well of creativity and how actually that is the ultimate creation. And we are all, by the sounds of it, creative people. So actually that's in some ways could be quite jarring. Is that the ultimate creation? Maybe it is for some people. And that idea maybe gets lodged in our brain somewhere.
As someone who does work in the creative industries, it's very interesting that you pose that question, Lou, because I would argue it's something that I've actually not associated with my creativity. And I quite like keeping it that way. And maybe there is something about not becoming a mother that you can kind of be in a bit of a childlike state, I guess, a little bit longer because you haven't had to go into that next step. I do think that they're quite separate, at least in my mind.
I find that a really interesting concept as well. Like in some ways, I suppose, yeah, creating a life is the ultimate creation. But again, I haven't put the two together in that way. And if anything, like in these older years, as I'm, you know, hopefully maturing, I feel like I'm just getting started in my life in some ways. And I want to be making more music and finishing this book and like publishing these poems. And like the idea of having children now, I can only imagine how much it hampers people's creativity. Not that there aren't still really creative, like I know incredible musicians that are wonderful mums, but there's those years of like no sleep and mania and just like, I don't envy it at all. But I just want to say the flip side that can come with this that I have found that I need to be really gentle about is the voice that says, well, you haven't had kids, so you better, why aren't you playing more music then? Or how come you haven't finished that? Or, oh, I thought you said you wanted to be an artist. Like this imposter critic, the shitty committee inside, they don't seem to like me very much. So yeah, there just has to be so much gentleness and compassion for what I get done. Like we're human beings, not human doings, right? And it's like, I don't want to push in that way of like, well, make it worth it that you didn't have kids by doing all this. And it's like, no, I'll make it worth it by being the best person I can be, by being a really good friend, by being the best sort of fellow among fellows, you know?
Yeah, and doing what's authentic for you, not, as you say, we're not here to just produce. That inner pressure, as you said, the shitty committee, I love that. That inner pressure to be like, well, you're not a parent, so how are you going to fill your time?
Having to be the work-obsessed woman isn't actually the reality of either choosing or living a life without kids. But I think that's quite often a lazy assumption. Yeah, it's just one of those stereotypes, isn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose it's just that modern pressure of like what your purpose is. So that we have to be defined in certain ways of accolades or family or creativity or relationship status or money, or I don't have all these amazing checklists to give you, but I know I'm a really good friend. And I know I can be there for people and I can be a good ear and I can help people through really difficult times. And if that's the biggest purpose, then fine. You know, when the shitty committee are quiet enough for me to know that that's enough to be a worthwhile, lovely human being, I'm gold, you know.
What about Sweden appealed to you as a place to finally sort of find that stillness?
Well, friends moved out here when, like, a while after uni, you know, they needed studios for their work. And it was like, in London, that's a whole extra rent. And you just can't, you know, whereas out in the sticks here, friends of theirs had moved out. They found property super cheap and they set up a music festival. And I started to come and play at this music festival. Like, the first time they ran it, I was 6 weeks sober. I thought my life was over. And then I was singing at a music festival. It's like, oh, okay.
Wow.
You know, and then came back every year. And then, I just saw the possibilities here. I can want to travel the world and I also want to have a home with roots. Mm-hmm. It's like both can exist in a human. And it's the same, I think, with children. Like, I could want to be the old grandma with 8 kids and 20 grandkids and be baking cakes like my grandma did. And I can also quite happily be that the crazy auntie that never keeps still because she's on the road. Like, both exist. And that's okay.
Absolutely. And also, because you are doing one thing, it doesn't mean that you are not acknowledging that your life could have gone the other way.
If you want to live by yourself in London, you need $2,000 a month, and that's not even all the bills, and that's before you've done anything else. And okay, so then you can have a partner and then that can split a bit if you don't find that person, or what's, you're going to live with randoms in your 40s? Like, and some are good, but come on. And so then that thing of this generation, like I was born in 82. So there was, you know, we got sort of given a real difficult stick, you know, in terms of property and all of that. And so if you want to have a creative life or any kind of sense of autonomy, if you don't have loads of money, then you can't necessarily be where you want to be because you're just going to be running 2 jobs that you may not even care about just to pay rent. I mean, does that sound really pessimistic? I don't know, but yeah.
It's fair. And I think arguably it could even be worse for the generation who are in their 20s now trying to get on a property ladder and things. It's another consideration. Like, London, living that sort of city London life does kind of keep you slightly infantilized for longer, I think. You are in a house share for longer. You are kind of maybe partying for longer. There's things that kind of keep you in a certain point of your life until you could get to your 30s and kind of think, oh, shit, actually, if I want this family dynamic, if I want to have a house and things, and actually it becomes quite difficult to do at a point where time is running out. I think it's going to be another thing that's interesting with regards to birth rate and these conversations going on with the generation below us, where that nets out. Because financially, these are people who kind of started in the working world post-COVID.
Right, wow,
really
yeah.
different way of looking at work, of being able to get work. I just think it will be interesting to see how much of an impact that has as well on whether or not people choose to start families.
Yeah, and hopefully it will over time change the dynamic of these family reunions or school reunions, or where random people ask you like, Have you got a house? Have you got a partner? Have you got kids? Like, check, check, check. Hey, have you been reading any interesting books recently? Like, what's your favorite thing that gets you out of a bad mood? Like, let's ask each other more interesting questions where someone isn't just cornered and gone, no, no, no. Like, feeling like, da, 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 da. Yeah.
I absolutely love that. Like,
you know,
there's so many, small talk is such a bitch, you know. It would be so much nicer to come into things on a more fun springboard conversation.
The thought of going to a school reunion makes me want to be physically sick for so many reasons, but that is exactly it.
We can just say no.
If I got the invite, if the invite came through the door from my secondary school, I would just, old school RSVPs, you know, where you ripped the slip off the bottom of the letter and just put across. That is what I would be doing. Because that's how I would receive an invite to a school reunion in 2025.
It would be in the post, yeah.
It would be in the post. So that's how they'd track me down. Question for both of you. Do you think that not having children contributes to any of us being in an infantilized state?
In my own sort of journey of making the choice to not have kids, there was a period of time when I did therapy where I did start to kind of second guess whether or not it was that there was part of me that was staying in quite an immature state and just sort of refusing to adult. I think I'm quite good at adulting in a lot of areas, but I think with things like partying and stuff like that, it took a little while for me to grow up and grow out of that. Coming out the other side of that pretty hazy 20s and 30s, actually, I've not come out and changed my mind in my own situation, thankfully, but I do think that was another reason why it was kicked to the curb for a long time.
In some ways, I felt like I grew up too fast. Like I had a job from when I was very young. I needed to take care of the house when I was very young because my mum was working two jobs and trying to study as well. And, you know, I was out crazy, hazy, raving for years as well and had an amazing time. And so, you know, and then a very messy, difficult, dark time that made me stop. But that may have been trying to hold on to my youth. I was trying to hold on to being able to play, to be playful. You know, there was that like teenage change where kids could stop sort of playing and be happy. And instead they'd be going, all right, yeah, you're right. Right, right. Like they're not trying to ask you how you are. It's just like everyone's got to be cool. And I really resented that. And so then being crazy with substances and stuff, it allowed me to play. So in that respect, I was infantilized for a while. But in terms of relationship and children, it was more recognizing that I had a very insecure attachment. I didn't trust love. I didn't trust men. I didn't trust I was good enough. And so in some ways, I may have reacted in very childish ways. So I may have been kind of triggered and felt like a little girl being left at the train station. Like, I don't know that ever even happened to me, but that's the kind of feeling that used to come and can still come at times. So in that sort of way, maybe I still was. And then I needed to work through things with therapy. But I don't know that that has anything to do with whether or not I had children. It's just that's all part of it. That's just all part of the path that I was on.
Yeah. And I feel like there's part of the word infantilize that I find a bit triggering. You can't see me, but I'm doing the air quotes because this car's. and I find it patronizing because I think actually it kind of makes me go, all adults without children aren't by nature just waiting to grow up. However, in an individual's experience, yes, there can be an element of actually wanting play. Joe, like you were saying, like really kind of wanting to kind of have that freedom and space and maybe having children being a possible...
A hindrance, barrier. Yeah, I think that for me, for a long time, I was one of those people that from whenever you would have asked me, I would have always told you I didn't want kids. Mm. And I don't think that was always me really even having that conversation with myself. I think it was this identity I was building, that I was hard partying. I was really about like one thing, and that was having fun, and nothing was going to get in the way of that. I feel lucky that I actually got to that realization and was able to kind of sit back and put that shit to one side and make an adult decision and kind of get into a slightly more adult mindset about things. I love what you said about play. Like, I really hate that. Just, and I think for a lot of us, that those raving days, those after party days, were all about this sort of roll around on the floor and essentially like act like toddlers at a drama class. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that was brilliant. Like, but yeah, that only can take you so far, I guess. And I suppose, Sophie, you're a creative person. You find a new way to play, I presume, in what you do now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I'm more of a writer and a musician, but like the other week, I was dating someone and like they're showering me with all this love, and then they just changed their mind. They just turned it off. And I was like, what? And I thought, I've done all this work on myself. What's happened? All of that is fine. Like, it was only a short amount of time. It's passed. And I had this big canvas and I just got paint on my hands, and like a 3-year-old just went, and I just squidged it all over the place, and it looks like a weird tripped out storm, and I don't care. It only took 15 minutes. It was glorious. It was glorious therapy. Can't say I'm going to exhibit it next week in a gallery, but it did me the world of good. And, you know, I still go out raving now. Like, I love drum and bass, and I found this amazing collective in Gothenburg. And I can rave my ass off if the music's great. I just can't dance to shit music. That's it. So, yeah, there's so many ways to play now. I don't like this infantilizing idea at all. Because I think as well, it's as if it gives an impression like, oh, we just forgot to have children, or we were too busy being silly. And it's like, no, there were circumstances that made this not happen, but I also consciously said, I'm not going to do this unless I have, you know, a really good sense of stability with somebody I love and trust, or that we can actually financially be able to bring a child into this world, that we can afford good schools, or, you know, whatever it is that you need to do. And that's a whole life decision. Like, it's very cute to think, oh, I want to buy little clothes and they'll hold my finger and they smell nice. Like, that would be an infantilizing decision to have a child because of that, without thinking about all the realities of it.
What do you love about your life?
I love the autonomy that I have. I work remotely, and I can kind of choose my hours to a great extent. And so I can be doing a podcast today. I can be running through the forest in the morning. I can be planning when I'm running retreats in Italy or visiting my friends in Kenya. Like, you know, I can be painting my house over the summer. I can be housing my friend and her daughter when she comes to visit. Like, I have a lot of freedom, and I have space to create, and I have amazing women in my life that are solid friends, that have, some have children, some don't. They're my soulmates. You know, you want to talk about soulmates, like, those women are my soulmates. So I have a wonderful life. I have a really wonderful life. Like, I don't have all the accolades or all the abundance that I'll try and figure out a way to invite into my life. But freedom and autonomy are hugely important to me. And in that respect, I can go, check, success.
It sounds like you've created a beautiful life. Thank you so much for talking to us today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sophie. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Massive thank you to Sophie for joining us and telling us about her life all the way from Sweden. It was really appreciated. Another unique perspective. We love hearing them. We look forward to bringing you more in the next coming weeks. Thank you so much. Stay tuned.
Sono Kids is created by Joe Ridley and Louise Cotton, with production support from Claire Ramasamy, sound assistance from Ross Flight and Rich Martin, audio mastering by Edie Martin, and music by Stephen Pack. If you enjoyed this, please share.